Thank you. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 Printaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 11. Svayambhuva Manu advises Bhuva Maharaj. Text 18. Sakal vidam bhagavan kala shaktya guna pravahena vibhakta virya karotyakartaeva nihantyahanta cheshta vibhumna kalau durvibhavya sakal vidam bhagavan kala shaktya guna pravahena vibhakta virya karotyakartaeva nihantyahanta cheshta vibhumna kalau durvibhavya sakal vidam bhagavan kala shaktya guna pravahena vibhakta virya karotya kartaiva nihantya hanta cheshta vibhumna kalau durvibhavya.
Please try to read it.
Sakalapitam bhagavan kala shaktaya guna pravahena vibhakta virya karoti yakateva nihanti hanta cheshta vibhumna kalau durvibhaya.
Word for word equivalents.
Sa
di kalu
kalu
however Idam,
Idam.
This universe.
This universe.
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan.
The personality of Godhead.
Kala,
of time. Shaktya,
by the force.
Guna, Pravahena,
by the interaction
of the modes of nature.
Vibhakta,
divided.
Virya,
whose potencies.
Karoti,
acts upon.
Akarta,
the energy.
Vibhumna,
of the Lord.
Kalu,
certainly.
Durvibhavya,
inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable supreme energy, time, causes the interaction of the three modes of material nature, and thus varieties of energy become manifest. It appears that he is acting, but he is not the actor. He is killing, but he is not the killer. Thus it is understood that only by his inconceivable power is everything happening. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. The word durvibhavya means inconceivable by our tiny brain. And vibhakta virya means divided in varieties of potencies. This is the right explanation of the display of creative energies in the material world. We can better understand the mercy of God by an example. A government state is always supposed to be merciful, but sometimes, in order to keep law and order, the government employs its police force, and thus punishment is meted out to the rebellious citizens. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always merciful and full of transcendental qualities. But certain individual souls have forgotten their relationship with Krishna and have endeavored to lord it over material nature. Thus, as a result of their endeavor, they're involved in varieties of material interaction. It is incorrect to argue, however, that because energy issues from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the actor. In the previous verse, the word nimitta matram indicates that the Supreme Lord is completely aloof from the action and reaction of this material world. How is everything being done? The word inconceivable has been used. It is not within the power of one's small brain to comprehend. Unless one accepts the inconceivable power and energy of the Lord, one cannot make any progress. The forces which act are certainly set up by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is always aloof from their action and reaction. The varieties of energies produced by the interaction of material nature produce the varieties of species of life and their resultant happiness and unhappiness. How the Lord acts is nicely explained in the Vishnu Purana. Fire is situated in one place, while heat and light produced by the fire act in many different ways. Another example is given that the electric powerhouse is situated in one place, but by its energies, many different types of machinery move. The production is never identical with the original source of the energy, but the original source of energy, being the prime factor, is simultaneously one with and different from the product. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, is the perfect way of understanding. In this material world, the Lord incarnates in three forms as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, by which he takes charge of the three modes of material nature. By his incarnation of Brahma, he creates, as the incarnation of Vishnu, he maintains, and by his incarnation of Shiva, he also annihilates. But the original source of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, Garbho Dakshayi Vishnu, is always apart from these actions and reactions of material nature. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurube Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakada Mahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsha He Krishna Kuruna Sindha Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sakalvidam Bhagavan Kala Shaktya Guna Pravahena Vibhakta Virya Karotya Kartaiva Nihantya Hanta Cheshta Vibhumna Kalodur Vibhavya The word Kalu is used twice in this verse. Kalu means however or certainly. There are varieties of energies of the Lord. He can do one thing, however he can do the other thing, and that is certainly true. In Ishopanishad, it's expressed that he walks and he does not walk. He is near, but he is also very far away. He has no legs, but he can overcome all others by running. And here, he's causing the interaction, he's causing through his energy the interaction of the three modes of material nature. On one hand, Krishna says, Daivi Hesha Gunamani, Mama Maya Duratyaya, that my material energy is very difficult to overcome. On the other hand, he says that although I'm the cause of this material creation, I'm yet the non-doer. I'm yet the non-doer. Akarta. I'm not the doer. So an analogy is given. Srila Prabhupada gave two analogies in this purport of the fire being situated in one place from the Vishnu Purana and how it expands its light and its heat, which are its products. And those then perform work independently of the flame itself. The light. There's a light here, and we're seeing by virtue of the light, but we're not actually in direct contact with this light bulb. It's in one place. By virtue of its energy, its influence is spread throughout the room. Or the example of the powerhouse, which is so far away, but I can plug in an iron here, and I can plug in a space heater, or I can plug in a space heater here and an air conditioner here. And if it doesn't short out the circuit, then I can get opposite results, heat and cool, from the same energy source. So the Lord's energy can work for creation, maintenance, destruction. Apparently these are opposite things. But same energy produces, just as the same energy produces heat and cold. Another example to illustrate how the Lord is simultaneously the remote cause. He's simultaneously the cause and not the cause, is the example of the boss at work. So you've got your jobs. There's your local boss who's sort of like on the floor with you and supervising everyone. But then, and he's getting fatty paycheck, right? Supervisor, isn't it true? Then, but now someone pays him, someone signing his paycheck. That person is the remote cause. Let's say it's the CEO, for example. He's there. Now, he never enters the office, and yet by his influence, everyone is working, even though no one ever gets to directly contact him. This is how Krishna is maintaining 33 million supervisors in the form of demigods. 33 million devatas who are supervising. Yes, there may be different numbers of demigods in different universes. We have a small universe. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Krishna is maintaining all the devatas. Therefore, Krishna's name is Deva Deva. In English, we would say God of Gods. Very stately language. Deva Deva. Viraischa sarvair aham eva vedya vedanta krit veda vid eva chaham. And the devas are involved in Veda. They study knowledge. Therefore, what's the purpose of that Vedanta study? Krishna. Vedanta vid. He is the knower of Vedanta and the compiler of the Vedas in the form of his incarnation. The Lord has various incarnations. Yes, we've already described the devatas. They are considered portions of the planetary portions of the Lord, or Anu manifestation of Krishna. Then there's Vibhu manifestation. Which are the Vishnu Tattva, the avatars of the Lord, Rama, Narsimha, Varaha, Kurma, Matsya, all the Vishnus. They're all avatars directly empowered, fully empowered by Krishna. Whereas the demigods are empowered limitedly, just as every living entity is empowered limitedly by the Lord. So now, on the topic of the Vishnu Tattva manifestations of the Lord, there is Krishna. From the Lord comes Lord Balaram. Then Chaturvyuha, another Chaturvyuha. Chaturvyuha means Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumnadi. Aniruddha. From them come Karnodakshaya Vishnu. He is lying in the causal ocean. Mahavishnu. From his skin pores, there are millions of bubbles coming out as he breathes. We breathe only through our mouth or nose, only from our head, but he breathes through every pore of his body. Within each of those pores is a bubble. blowing out. Actually, more than one bubble is blowing out from each pore. And as Madan Sundar Prabhu pointed out, I was describing 33 million demigods. That's within one bubble, because each bubble is a universe. Each bubble is half filled with water, like a coconut. This coconut, you can shake it, you can hear the water moving around. That means there's some air and some water inside. So in the same way, each bubble, which is coming out of Karnodakshay Vishnu's body, is half filled with water. On top of the surface of that water, the Lord enters into each bubble in the form of Garbhodakshay Vishnu. He's called Garbhodakshay Vishnu because from his womb, Lord Brahma comes. But that womb manifests not like an ordinary womb. It's in the form of a lotus flower growing out of his navel. That lotus flower grows up and out sprouts Lord Brahma. Then, now this may sound fantastic. Sometimes people think, oh, it's mythology. But they also have their own fantastic claims that we're expected to accept, like everything comes from a chunk. They call it the Big Bang. That's also fantastic. Everything comes from a chunk. Where did the chunk come from? That is a question for philosophers, not for scientists. And simply that the chunk was there, and from one day the chunk exploded, and suddenly there was life. That's also fantastic, because in our experience we never have any experience, evidence, no, even to suggest that life comes from chemicals. It can't be reproduced. It can simply be claimed. So Garbhodakshay Vishnu then, but the Vedic knowledge has a track record of consistency and because it has consistently explained reality for 5,000 years without any need of revision. Whereas the scientific paradigm is always changing. That's its hallmark. It's almost, you could say it's its dharma, is to change. So we call it pratyaksha, which is observation through the senses, gathering knowledge through the senses. That knowledge will always change as our capacity to perceive things changes. Like the example of the elephant who is being grasped on in different places by three blind men. One blind man has the trunk, one blind man has the leg, and one blind man has the tail with the fuzzy puff at the end. So the first man is feeling, and okay, an elephant, as he grabs the trunk, is long and slender and has ridges, and it appears to have a hole at the end. The second blind man is feeling the leg, and it's very quite thick, and it has so many hairs on it. It's very strong. And then the third person is feeling the tail. Oh, it's just like a rope, and it has a nice fluffy end. Each of them has a limited factual experience of the elephant. There's no doubt that pratyaksha yields true information. However, it doesn't yield entirety. It can't give us the complete picture. Therefore, its use, its value, is only when it's used to support the conclusion of shabda, or the knowledge which is given from Veda. From guru, from sadhu, from shastra. Shabda means sound. We hear it from a superior source. Then we can use our pratyaksha to explain what we've heard, how it is true. So Krishna, for example, Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhupo manta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante maham buddha pavasamangita. Krishna says, I am the source of all material spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service with all their love. So proper use of pratyaksha is to say, okay, how is it true? How is it true that Krishna is the source of everything? And then to rack your brain to come up with different ways of explaining this to people, that is proper use of pratyaksha, of God-given intelligence. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who studies this Bhagavad Gita worships me with his intelligence. But improper use of anything can be used properly or improperly, even our intelligence. Improper use is to say, is it true? Is Krishna really the supreme cause of all causes? Source of everything? That won't get us anywhere. Actually, it'll get us to Columbus, Ohio. It'll get us to the material world again and again, birth after birth, which isn't really anywhere. The great sages say that of that which is temporary, there is no existence. And of that which is eternal, there's no cessation. This whole world is an illusion. But the spiritual, it's illusion because it's temporary. So the only hope we have is that the Lord's mercy can convert matter into spirit, just like we offer prasad to the Lord. We offer bhoga to the Lord. And after the Lord accepts an offering which was made with love and devotion, it becomes spiritualized. Whether it's food, intelligence, even money, anything can be used in the service of the Lord, and it is converted from matter to spirit if it's offered bhaktya ma with love to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Lord enters within his material cosmic manifestation in the form of Garbhodakshai Vishnu. He's lying on that bed of Anantashesh, floating on top of the water of each bubble. From his navel is growing a lotus flower. A lotus flower is hollow. The stem of the lotus is hollow like a straw, and aligned within vertically, the space of that stem is the planetary systems. The upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Sometimes it's divided into 14 planetary systems, but these are all the same planetary systems. We're located currently, if there was a map, there would be a star that says, you are here. And that's Bhumandala, the center planetary system. It's the lower of the three central planetary systems, Bhuvar and Swal. And then within that planetary systems, within that material world, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu then expands again. And he takes a form which is microscopic, submicroscopic. He's in every atom and in between every atom. From the pratyaksha point of view, an atom cannot be divided if you go back in time 50 years ago. But then 25 years ago, it can also be divided. So pratyaksha is always changing. But Garbhodakshaya Vishnu has come in the form of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu in every atom and in between every atom. Chayantarashtam, Andantarashta, Paramanu Chayantarashtam. Paramanu is the Sanskrit word which means within the atom. He's come in the form of the super soul, Paramatma, Kshirlokshayavishnu. He's in every atom, he's in between every atom, and he's well known, he's famous for being in our hearts. And he's guiding the wanderings of every living entity. Karmani nidrahati kintu chapakti bhajam. He's awarding, indiscriminately awarding the results of karma for every living entity, from Lord Indra down to the Indra Gopa, which is a tiny microscopic, like an amoeba.
It's called
Indra Gopa, the smallest living entity. Whether you're Indra or you're Indra Gopa, the Lord is within every atom, and he's providing you the results of your karma. And at the same time, he's burning up to the roots all the karmic reaction of his devotee. So, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva pape bhyo mokshayishyami. He's freeing one from all sinful reaction. Sinful reaction means karma. He frees one from both, from everything that binds us in this material world. But we can be bound not just by sin, but also by mundane piety, which is another form of sin. But the prime principle is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. We can forget Krishna by so-called sinful activity. We can forget him by so-called pious activity also. But by surrendering to Krishna and becoming his pure devotee, then liberated from all karma. There's karma, which is punya. There's vikarma, which is pap. And then there's akarma, and that's bhakti, which is transcendental. So that Lord, who is there in everyone's heart, in the heart of the animal, he's teaching a bird how to build a bird's nest. We call it instinct. But if you ask a scientist to define instinct, that will be a question for philosophers, not for scientists. From where did the bird learn how to build a nest if it never saw its parent build the nest? Oh. Maybe it's genetics, which ultimately came from a chunk. Rather, the explanation of intelligence makes more sense, that it has intelligence being guided from within. That intelligence is the super soul. He's providing the animals intelligence how to eat, sleep, mate, and defend successfully, how to propagate the species. And he's giving humans an option. They can live like an animal and take birth as an animal in the next life, or they can live as a human being and develop their love of God. If we choose this option of devotional service to the Lord, then the super soul provides us not simply instincts of survival, but tesham shatata yuktanam pajatam priti. Says, for those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. That is conducted by the super soul in the heart. It's also explained that a materially conditioned soul thinks himself the doer of of activities which are in reality carried out by the modes of material nature. So I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. That is actually being conducted by Vayu. Vayu, who is in charge of air, he's in charge of life, and naturally, life, air, prana. Even the closing and opening of my eyelids is done by hydraulic pressure, which is done by these pranas, the life air is in the body. I'm actually not in control of it. The only thing that we actually have any control over, which is what Prabhupada calls our minute independence, is our desire. What do we want? That we have control over and that we are held responsible for. Therefore, if I want to choose Krishna, then I can do it. We're never too fallen to choose devotional service. That can be used as an excuse. Oh, I'm too fallen, actually. There's no hope for me, so I better do Maya. That's another choice. But it is a choice, and we're held responsible for the choice. If we choose light, we will come to the light. If we choose darkness, we will go to the darkness. Just as with the fire, which is situated in one place, it then produces heat and light, which act independently. The choices we make then have reactions, which are beyond our control. I can say something, and once it's said, I cannot unsay it. In the same way, anything I do has a reaction. So either we want our reaction to bring us closer to Krishna. That's the purpose of our ability to desire. We desire, we will, and then we act. But we're recommended by Krishna. Okay, you're going to act. Yat karoshi rashnasti, yat jahoshi dadasi, yat tapasyasi kaute, tat karushva madarpanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, whatever hardships you have to do, do as an offering to me, Madarpanam. When we do that, Krishna takes control of our life. Because he takes direct control. Instead of simply by the agency of his inferior energy, he's controlling every living entity. And they're acting like machines. Animals, for example, are sort of like machines. They just have to do predictable behaviors. That's how, like, the Pavlov experiments work. They trained a dog so that they would give a dog food, and when it got the food, they would ring a bell. They do this again and again for a year or two, and the dog becomes conditioned so that whenever it hears the bell, it starts to drool because it associates the bell with food. Even if there's no food, they ring the bell and the dog thinks there's food. This is the conditioned response. But if we surrender to the Lord, then instead of simply teaching us, allowing us to behave as machines, like an animal who can build a bird nest, he directly controls us. Srila Prabhupada, when he arrived in New York in 1965, he wrote a prayer. And at the end of that prayer, he said, please make me dance. Make me dance. Make me dance as you like. This is the perfection. To be the puppet of Krishna directly. Instead of being the puppet of Krishna's material energy. This is how the Lord is simultaneously the controller and not the controller. He's the direct controller of his devotee, and he's the indirect controller of everything else. Manjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Saraiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Svarupam Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Pajam. Therefore, the devotee, because he has direct relationship with the Lord, he sees the Lord in his heart because of having his eyes smeared with the unguent of love of God. Prema. How do we get there? We already mentioned doing everything as an offering to Krishna, offering the results of our work to the Lord. We work, so we offer the results to the Lord. Someone is, and if it's not merely money, perhaps a skill we have. Someone's an artist, he paints for Krishna. Someone's a cook, he cooks for Krishna. That's another way. These are both within the category of Nishkam Karma Yoga. It's a facet of Bhakti Yoga, working without results. Karmanye Vadikaraste Ma Paleshu Karachit. You have a right to perform your duty, but not to the results of the work. The results are for Krishna. Okay, so that's one section of how we can do this. Another way is the primary way, actually. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, in congregation. This Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the Holy Name, is the primary method by which we revive our Dharma Krishna consciousness. And when we can't chant Hare Krishna, then we have to work, right? Everyone's got some job to do. So we do offer the results to Krishna. That is the nice thing. That's the Sankirtan movement. Also, everything supports the chanting, though. So if someone has a job, then he's earning some money. His responsibility is to support those who directly spread the chanting of the holy names for more time than they are able to, who spend their whole life spreading the holy names of the Lord. Traveling sannyasis, spiritual masters. They should be supported financially, in any way, opening your home to them so they can perform home programs in your house, cooking for them, somehow or other supporting them, designing a website for them, whatever it may be required. But that's the responsibility of every living entity, to serve the servants. And that's what makes our life successful. That's what saves the planet from destruction. Would anyone like to ask any question or share anything? I think the class was a little disjointed. I talked about a whole bunch of different things, and they were hovering around a few issues, but I hope that it was somewhat clear. Any confusions? Krishna did it. He helped me by sending some very nice people. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.